If you have a Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You know, every time you come to church or even have your devotions, it can be a life-changing experience. God gives us word that that might happen. And 1 John chapter 5 is a great, great chapter, but we're going to look at one thing in particular. Last week, we spoke about being grateful, being thankful. When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Being grateful is a wonderful thing. Being thankful. Being thankful brings you joy, brings you peace, brings you comfort. Amen. If you're unthankful, boy, that's kind of like the heathen. And we have so much to be thankful for. And our thanks all goes to God. All goes to God. But it's a wonderful emotion. Amen. I would rather feel thankful about something than unthankful. When you're unthankful, it's like I got shortchanged or people don't understand or whatever, all those different emotions. But when you're thankful, you're grateful. And in the Bible, praise and thanksgiving, if you'll kind of make a mental note of that, it's always praise and thanksgiving together. Because if you're thankful, you'll praise the Lord. So in everything, give thanks. Amen? So we thank God for that. Love is the same thing. If your heart is full of love, it's a wonderful emotion. I would rather love than hate. Amen? And you hate sin, but you love the sinner. And so that's how God works all of that out. But when you feel that love, which is influenced by being thankful, it's a wonderful thing. And when you feel thankful and it's influenced by love, think of those two emotions in your heart right now. I mean, that is absolutely life-changing. We will read 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We drop down to verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life, that we may know him that is true, that we might know God. It's important to know God. Amen. But let's pray and ask God's blessing. Father, we so desire wisdom. We desire peace. We desire all these things, and they come from knowing you. You're the source, every good and perfect gift. Cometh from above. And Father, you've been so good to us. You've bestowed so many blessings on us, so many benefits. And I pray today that you would really change our hearts, Lord. Draw our hearts to you. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' precious name, amen. A lot of verses about love. Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Fervently. That means you really do it. Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, all thy might. This is the first commandment, right? This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you go through the scripture, God is love. Amen. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You say, I have all those verses. God, if you know not love, you know not God, it says in 1 John in another portion of Scripture. We have in 1 Corinthians 13, charity, which is love in action. But another verse says, charity covereth all sin. And so charity covers. That's what it does. The Bible says many waters cannot drown love. I mean, it's just such a powerful, powerful thing. The secular world has written a lot about it. They write songs about it. They write poems about it. But God has written a lot about love, too. And he wants the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, not the love of the world, and not just that emotion. And, you know, when God says that it's a commandment to love him, that's because we are able to do it without the feeling sometimes. Amen? Sometimes you don't feel like you love God, or you don't feel like you're comforted. But we, by faith, claim those things. And we pray and we ask God to help us, and obviously he does, that we may know him. There's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing God. knowing about God, all you need is common sense and, you know, where you can, what do they call it down south? Cipher? I don't know. Is that what they call it? Where you can understand. Amen? And, oh, yeah, God's been good to me. Okay, it says it right here. God's been good to me. But to experience that, to know that feeling, to know that trust, that is a real blessing. One is a head knowledge and one is a heart knowledge. In Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Boy, chew on that verse for a while. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God is being filled with the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, but it starts with love. And then it adds those other qualities. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of those things. Because one feeds off the other. Amen? If you're thankful, your heart will be filled with love. If your heart is filled with love, you'll be thankful. And peace comes from that. And you can just put all of that together. But it says the fruit of the Spirit. And then it gives you nine things. But it's such a blessing because he just keeps pouring all that out onto us. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God hath prepared for them. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual book. Amen? When we pray, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we make the connection. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. To be saved, you're born again of the Spirit. Amen? It's not the flesh. It's not human reasoning. We by faith accept Christ as our Savior. That's the Spirit at work. And our faith gets stronger through the Spirit. It's the strength of the Spirit. And all these things talk about the love of God. 1 John 4:19. We love him because there's a cause that we love God, because he first loved us. It's all about salvation. Amen? When you're born again, the Spirit of God bears witness. He works inside of us. We are born of the Spirit. And then we love God. It's just like an automatic thing. Who wouldn't love God when God has sacrificed his Son and prepared a place in heaven for us for all eternity? When you really think about that, you know, I really hope people take it to heart to bring me cookies on my birthday. That would be a blessing, because I don't want to feel bitter or, you know, any of those things. I want to enjoy myself. But you might get a really nice gift for Christmas. What if your husband or your wife or your children or your parents bought you a brand new Lexus? Amen? Or whatever, Ford truck. Amen? Brand new, and they gave it to you. Would that make you happy? Duh. You know? I mean, that would be quite a gift. But think of the gift of eternal life. I mean, it boggles your mind. You know? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We'll be with him for all eternity. We'll have a new body. Amen? All the pain, all the suffering, all the heartache, gone from your mind. Not only your body. Just going to be really, really a blessing. Our love is for God based on our salvation. We're filled with love, joy, and peace. How could you not love that? Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It all goes back to that. In 1 John 4:9, the Bible says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So we have eternal life in Christ, but we have abundant life in Christ. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. And when you really think about that, it really passes knowledge. It's a spiritual thing. It's a deep thing, very, very deep. But to know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, that is a powerful, powerful thing. In Philippians 4:7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, very similar, peace and love, passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A peace that passeth all understanding, a love that passeth knowledge. And then it says it's unspeakable. kids. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, that we may know him. Do you know his love? Do you know his peace? Do you know his comfort? Do you know his strength? That the Bible and the Spirit of God working with the Scriptures. The Bible is a spiritual book. Amen? Thy word is truth. And then a little later in the book of John, the Spirit will guide us into all truth. So God uses the word and his Spirit to show us how to have peace, to show us how to have his strength, to show us wisdom. This is the way, walk ye in it. All of these verses that we talk about. But then there's Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what I want to know. I want to know the power of God. I want to know the love of God. I want to know the peace of God. And as we do that, there is a connection we make with God. But there's something a little bit deeper than that, and that's what I want to look at today. I think it'll be a blessing. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Amen? Boy, that's what we all choose, right? The fellowship of his sufferings. And the verse goes on, being made conformable unto his death. That's a new depth of our love. That's a new depth of expressing our love for God. Amen? The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. The Bible says that Jesus died for us, so we ought to live for him. And we sang some of that in our songs today. But it's such a blessing, the fellowship of his sufferings. In Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Jacob was afraid of Esau, so he went away and he tried to get away from Esau. Esau was going to kill him. And he talked about Bethel, the house of God, and he wanted to get back to Bethel. But ultimately, they renamed that and they called it El Bethel, because for Jacob, it wasn't just the house of God, it was the God of the house of God, El Bethel. And sometimes as we come to church, we know what to do. We're familiar with the songs. I was thinking as I was singing, and the Lord really spoke to me, I wasn't concentrating on the words. My mind had slipped away. I was in my cot drinking lemonade on a sandy beach somewhere. Amen? But, I mean, sometimes you lose that connection. Here's a beautiful song about I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, right? And you just, boy, you're praising God, but then all of a sudden something distracts you. And you know the words, and so you just go right on with the words. But you miss that connection. Do you find when you're reading the Bible and your devotions, and that you read the chapter and you go, now what did I read? You know? And the deal is, you make a deal with the devil. If he distracts you, you're going to read the chapter again. If he distracts you again, you'll read the chapter again. If he really gets bad, memorize the chapter. Just tell him that. He'll leave you alone. He'll leave you alone. But it's so good to know the love of God and to be rooted and grounded in that. But there's something else here. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh yeah, that's all about Jesus. He laid down his life for us. And that's true. But we can have that kind of love. And we can sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So I'll live for him because he died for me. And I'll give him my life. I'll serve him. Again, the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. In Genesis chapter 29, there's so many examples of this love for God and their deep, deep love for God. There's a story there about Jacob in Genesis 29:20, and he served 7 years for Rachel, for what he wanted to be his wife. Of course, he was deceived and he got Leah, and then he had to work more for Rachel. But he made a deal with Rachel's father. He says, I'll work 7 years so I can have her as my wife. Boy, that wouldn't work too good in our society, would it? But anyway, here's what the verse says. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. It was 7 years. That's a long time, amen? But seemed like a few days because his love was so great. For the joy set before him. Here he's going through some difficult, his mind, his eye is on that seventh, at the end of the seventh year. Boy, that's when I get to marry my wife. It says about our Lord that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Amen? He suffered the shame for us because he knew what was coming. That affects your thanksgiving. That affects your love for God. Because it's not just that he give you a good day today. What is he doing for you out there? Like the one song says. You know, we can't know that peace like it's going to be when we're with the Lord. But it's going to be there because the Bible says that it will be there. A love that would serve joyfully. Even give their life for one who is the object of their love. You love your dog? I love our dog. I mean, I could talk about our dog. I just love our dog. Our dog is the best dog in the world. You may disagree with that, but you've been wrong before. And so our dog is the best dog in the world. We love our dog. Sometimes I get a little irritated because my love isn't returned. If Linda and I go in the door at the same time, I do not exist. I mean, I can talk about it and I can say, Jesse, come here, look. And I'm Papa, amen? And don't laugh, because you've got your own things too, and that's Mama. And so I said, Papa's here. He doesn't even know I'm there. He's all over her, amen? That is hard to live with, amen? But we love our dogs. We love our children. We love our mates. We love our, amen? And would you give your life? Probably you'd give your life. Your child was being attacked by something, you would give your life to save that child. We think about a deep love that would give itself, all of itself, to save what they love. How about our country? There are soldiers that go to war. They give their lives, and some have paid the ultimate price because they love our country. If you go back some years, even some generations, people loved the church. They just loved it. Whatever they could do to help the church, to get people in to be saved or to hear the gospel, to grow in the Lord, all of those things. People love the church. They love to go to church. Sometimes we lose that. But to love your Lord, because he's so much greater than all of the things I just mentioned. Amen? We need to love him. Colossians 1:24. Paul said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. I am willing to suffer. I am willing to pay the price. I am willing to give myself. Amen. But it's a love that passeth understanding, a peace that passeth understanding. It's all of those wonderful things that we look for in the scripture, but the power of his resurrection, but the fellowship of his sufferings. That takes a deep, deep love. Amen? That takes a love that will spend itself. In John 6:26, Jesus answered them, the crowds, and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Who wouldn't follow that? Amen? Here, come for a free meal. Okay, amen? That sounds pretty good. But he says, you're not coming for me, you're coming for the bread. Amen? And sometimes our motives can be wrong. What about the bread of affliction? Isn't that what we're talking about here? The fellowship of his sufferings? To Micaiah the king said in 1 Kings 22, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison, feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. That's not a happy day. That's a difficult day, but it's a day of suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was what the prophet went through. Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He chose that. And he also esteemed his choice better than all the riches in Egypt. Because he had recompense for the reward. He had the recompense of the knowledge of that reward. He said, one day I will be rewarded for this, and I'm doing this for God. Amen? And so he paid the price. He suffered the affliction. And he did that for the Lord, and of course he was repaid. I'll get into the meat of the service message in just a moment. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. Whatever God asks us to do, it's not a grief to us. Amen? We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. God will not put on you more than you're able to bear. The verses are endless where you can identify, you can know God, you can know his love and his peace and his power, but you know the sufferings too, because God does a great work in the sufferings. We have Colossians 1:24. Oh, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Rejoice in that. Amen? All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It says here, rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. When his glory is revealed, you'll be glad. You might not be glad right now. It's hard to suffer. Amen? To pay that price. But one day, boy, it's going to be something. But Colossians says, 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So there's suffering now, but we can rejoice in it because we know it's for the Lord. Amen? And we know there's a greater reward as the day is coming. The church of Ephesus is being addressed in Revelation chapter 2. It was the first one that the Lord recorded there. And he said to that church, you have left your first love. And with all their earnestness and activity, the leaving of the first love made them a fallen assembly. Remember whence you have fallen. And he talks about that. And he talks about how they did this right and they knew this. And they could see who was a real Christian and who wasn't by their doctrine. But they had left their first love. And he reproves them for that. That's amazing. Remember from whence you're fallen and repent. Love the Lord with all your heart. To love is in the power of the will. Amen? Or God couldn't make it a commandment. Well, I just don't feel it. You know? You ever think that? You know, I'm supposed to love God? Linda and I, we had a conversation about 3 weeks ago. Every 3 or 4 weeks we have a conversation. And we talk about the Bible. But, you know, sometimes you just don't feel it. Amen? But it's a command to love the Lord. What in the world does that mean? Because, and we'll see that as we go through the rest of the message. Try to focus on this because God wants that love in your heart and that peace in your heart and that prosperous journey down here for his glory. Amen? It might not benefit you like you think it ought to, but it sure would benefit the Lord. Love the Lord with all thine heart. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas hath forsaken me. Why did Demas forsake Paul? Paul was a great Christian. God was doing great miracles. But it says, Demas hath forsaken me. The rest of the verse says, having loved this present world, and has departed. He departed from what was right because his heart went somewhere else. Solomon, that happened to Solomon. It happened to a number of people in the Bible. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. If the church was like the world, the church, our church, would probably have more people in it. All we'd have to do is be like the world. You know, I've illustrated this before, but here's the church. Right here, there's a picture. Here's the church. And back here, way back here, is the world. And the world lives like the world does. And the church follows the scripture like the church ought to. Amen? But I should have that a different way. Here's the world, and here's the church. So the world gets worse, and then the church moves right up behind it. It's still a space between the world and the church. We're not like the world in now, but we're getting to be like the world was back then. And so then the world goes a little bit further, and they're way over here. We're not over there, but we just moved up a little bit here. And there's so many illustrations in the scripture about that. Who's the guy that the donkey? He was riding the donkey. Come on, somebody remembers. Balaam. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. And he melded with the world. And he told Balak, that king, how God could destroy them without Balaam cursing him. And it's all about getting together with the world. And so we have asked God for the old paths, wherein dwelleth righteousness, right? Amen? Amen? If the church was like the world, we'd have better attendance. Well, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Think if the church gave away money. Think, now we have offering plates up here, and the Bible talks about tithes and offerings, and we don't stand there with a plate at your row and stand there until you put something in the plate. That's between you and God, amen? And so you can put that in anytime you want, and the Bible teaches that. But think, if we put a sign out there, everybody who attends gets $100. You think we increase our attendance? I bet you we would. You know, if we were known as the church that just gives money to everybody who comes in. Now, we try and help people, amen, and that's right to do, and benevolence is biblical. But if that's what we did, I'll bet we'd increase our attendance. But this is not about increasing our attendance or becoming like the world or giving money. This is all about our love for the Lord and our love for His Word. And that's where we're going in just a little bit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. This is the cheerleading section right there, man. Amen. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 30, boy, the Bible is so up to date. It's just so up to date. We love the Lord, so we love His Word. Amen. We love His Word. Praise God for His Word. Isaiah 30 and verse 10, about a certain crowd which say to the seers, those were the prophets, then they called them seers because they could see the future. Say to the seers, see not to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Boy, think of that. This is what they wanted them to say to them. Don't say right things, speak smooth things, speak lies. That's what they're saying. Boy, that's a comforting message. Sometimes it needs to be a convicting message. God needs to speak to our hearts. Amen? Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 32. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. Boy, that was a good message. A good message, amen, that's a blessing, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. So God says that. We have in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, tickle our ears. But sound doctrine, good sound doctrine. What do I believe about salvation? What do I believe about eternal security? What do I believe about the rapture? What do I believe about second coming? What do I believe about the resurrection? I mean, all the sound doctrine that we need. What do I believe about the Bible? It's so important to know that. But the day is coming, so Paul told Timothy, preach the word. So here's Isaiah, here's Ezekiel, and here's Jeremiah. Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will they do in the end thereof? Fault me if you must for my deliveries, my preaching. Fault me for my jokes that sometimes don't make sense. Fault me for forgetting a verse. Fault me for any of that. But don't fault me for preaching the Word of God. Amen? It's the Word of God that is powerful, it's lovely, it's strong, it's everything to us. And as we preach the Word, receive it. You say, well, that kind of irritated me. Well, take it from the Lord, amen? Just take it from the Lord, because God is speaking. No matter who is reading this or preaching this, if it comes out of here, it's God, amen? Because that's God's word. All I'm doing is telling you what God said. And if I'm just making something up, a story, throw the story out the window, amen? Eat the fish, spit out the bones, amen? And so get rid of the bones. But if God is saying it, you've got to consider that. And so we come to the question, do I love God? Do I love God? I hope you do, because that's the work that gets done. God leads and directs and helps and is a blessing. The nation's profession of religion was hypocritical, their apostasy and their idolatry. None could be found who behaved as upright and godly men, but the Lord saw the true character of the people through all their disguises. What can be expected but works of darkness from people that know nothing of God and religion? Ask for the old paths. Smooth things, lovely songs, deceits. My people love to have it so. How different it is for those who love God. Amen. Love produces something. And this will be a short message. It was a long introduction. How different it will be. You can tell. You can tell a tree by its fruit. Amen. Psalm 17:4, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Boy, what a blessing that is. What a blessing. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. What a treasure. Yeah, my husband is serving overseas, and I love him very much, but you know, he's in danger and he's sacrificing for my country, for my safety. And he sent me this letter, and I really haven't opened it yet, but it's from my husband, and I love him so much. I just really love him. But I got this letter, and I've gotten several from him, but I haven't opened any of them. Well, that would be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Amen? If you loved your husband, you'd be at the mailbox. And you'd have it opened and read before you ever got in the house. Amen? This is a love letter to us. This is God's word. Amen? So we spend much time in it because we love him. There's so much to say about that. But I've got to keep the sermon under 4 hours. Amen. John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. How clear, how to the point. That's what the Lord said. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And so we search the scriptures because we want to hear what God has to say to us. We have, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Amen? Well, they're not always what they need to be. Are you always what you need to be? And God loves you, amen? So we can love other people. Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 7. We'll read some scripture and apply this and see what the Lord does with the whole message. Ever since I've been called to preach, I've just used a lot of Bible. And I've found that's the best thing to do for me. Just give the scripture, because that's God speaking. This is Luke chapter 7. We'll begin reading in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman of the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, if you can picture this in your mind, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Jesus knew his thoughts. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but the woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Boy, that's a good story, isn't it? That's a good story. What's the problem here? The Pharisee thought more of himself, more highly of himself than he ought to think. Amen. A little further in the book, you have Luke chapter 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the one a publican. The publican, have mercy on me, God, have mercy. He was blessed and went home. The Pharisee who came in thinking, well, I'm better than all of these. I do this right, that right, and look at them. He went home with nothing. He went home with nothing. And every time we come to church, it's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. I need to love God more than I love Him, serve God more than I serve Him. He's so gracious to me. He's so kind to me. And long-suffering is one of those things in the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering. We suffer long. He suffers long. Amen? He shows mercy on us that we might have mercy on somebody else, but not just on somebody else. When we ask for mercy from Him, that's knowing. Him that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Why do people's lives change? It's because they admit who they are. And then God ministers to them and blesses them. Boy, He daily loads me with benefits. Amen? It's such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And then it says, that ye may know, that ye may know. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, as I said before, and His commandments are not grievous. This is how you know the depth of your love. Amen. Amen. If you have a friend that you love, your love won't hold him to the task about everything wrong thing that he does. Amen. Because charity covers a multitude of sin. You excuse people for their faults and for their failures, because we have faults and failures. Amen? And we're to love. 1 John 3:16 is just as good as John 3:16. But this is how you know your depth of love for God. Bernard of Clairvaux wrote, the true measure of loving God is to love Him without measure. It's good. R.A. Torrey, if loving God with all our heart and soul and might is the greatest commandment, then it follows that not loving Him that way is the greatest sin. John Piper, loving God with all our mind means that our thinking is wholly engaged to do all it can to awaken and express the heartfelt fullness of treasuring God above all things. To pray, when you're having a bad day, God is not in all your thoughts and you're just having a bad day and maybe you're angry at somebody or maybe you're jealous or maybe whatever it is, bow the knee. And ask God to help you to love Him. And for that spirit, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, He says. Amen? So we can represent God. Even if we're suffering wrongfully, we can do it with joy for the Lord. Because that's who we do it for. I wrote a number of songs down. So hard to pick a good song. I mean, what I mean by that is there are so many good ones. But there's one, He is so precious to me. So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness for strength I can cling, for He is so precious to me. Try and focus on these words. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Every day and every hour, Jesus and His free salvation, Jesus and His mighty power. His is love beyond all knowledge, His is grace beyond degree, mercy higher than the heaven, deeper than the deepest sea. My wife and I just started in the mornings. We do different things in the morning, sometimes read separate together, but we started to just play music, play songs, Christian songs. And you just hear this glory. Amen. This praise to Almighty God. And rather than worrying about the day as it's coming, you're praising God for new mercies in that day. It really does make a difference. There have been names that I have loved to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as this name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. How about this one? Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His holy name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Do those verses mean something to your heart? Jesus, the very thought of Thee with sweetness fills the breast. But sweeter far Thy face to see and in Thy presence rest. O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind Thou art, how good to those who seek. God will answer our prayers. Amen. If you want to love Him more, pray. Ask Him to help you. The Spirit of God wants that too. And you get together with God. Amen. You've got a good combination. You ever around somebody that's real positive? Maybe never. I mean, somebody that's real positive. And positive in a spiritual sense, positive with the Lord. And you're talking and fellowshipping, that's a blessing. Amen? Because iron sharpens iron and you're getting some input. But evil communications corrupt good manners. You ever been around somebody that is real negative? Okay? Probably never, right? And you've been around somebody, and that influences you too. We want to love the Lord together. And we do that in the church. We do it when we sing. We do it when we pray. We do it when we respond and grow according to the Word of God. Gratitude affects love. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. If you want to love the Lord, He wants you to love Him. Amen? And He will help you do that because that's a blessing to everybody. Everybody wins. Amen. Let the love of God be in your life and show it to other people. Sometimes you suffer for that, but you do it for Him. Let's bow our heads, please. The emotion of love and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, help us today. You've been so good to us. You loved us, and You do love us, and You will love us for all eternity. God, may we be like You. Bless us today. May praise be on our lips. May our fellowship be sweet. For Your glory we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.